All right, as most people are back from the break, I think it's time to continue. I hope everyone got some cake. If not, you missed something. It was really good. Next presentation or next talk comes from Gerald Carter. He's a member of the Samba team and will give us an update on what's going on in the Samba team, on the website, current developer topics, new services on the website. Gerald is the current Samba 3 release manager, so I think we can expect quite some news from that side, what's going on there. So, please welcome Gerald Carter and have an interesting time.
Just try now. Okay.
Okay. You didn't tell me about that button. He just said, "Press the red button." So the title of this talk was news.samba.org. It's obviously not specifically a type about the website, the Samba website. There is just a lot of things that are going on that, you know, are just sort of obvious to us because I call Jeremy up every day and I say, "Well, hey, what are you doing?" He's like, "Oh, well, I'm doing this." I'm like, "Oh, I'm doing that too." He's like, "Ah, well, we should really tell other people about this." So, this talk is really a chance, I think, for us to tell you what we are planning to do within the Samba project itself. And there'll be some other updates and other announcements later on throughout the afternoon. And then you get a chance to tell us whether or not you think that that's the right thing for us to do, whether we're on drugs and that's not the smart thing to do, or if it's just, maybe some good ideas that you have as well. One of the things, from my perspective in open source, is that it's very easy for developers to become sheltered, right? I mean, we sit down and, in fact, I mean, the majority of the Samba developers don't run Windows anymore, okay? And so it's fairly ironic that you have a group of developers that are working on interoperability software for Windows and Linux, and you just don't run Windows anymore. And so, there's all sorts of, I think, things that you learn through systems administration or customer engagements that give us a lot of valuable feedback about what people want to see in Samba and in what services, what features would be the best thing and be most advantageous to our user community. It's a symbiotic relationship. It's one where you run our code, so I believe that we have an obligation to help you out and not just say, "Oh, I'm sorry, no, I'm not going to fix your bugs." So there's a lot of things going on, and I would really prefer this to be fairly interactive. So there will be some comments that I'll make. There'll be some questions that I ask. And please feel free, if you have ideas or something doesn't make sense or you wonder why specifically we're choosing to do something in a particular way, just feel free to interrupt. I have no problems with that. I've already talked to Jeremy before the talk as well. And I think that if we come up, this could be a very engaging discussion, right? A lot of the discussion happens out in the hall, where we're talking to individual people and they go, "Oh, well, I was running into this one particular bug, or I tried out this latest particular application and I had problems with." I think this is a chance for us to be able to sort of talk as a group about what Samba should be doing and to let you guys know what our plans are, okay? If you aren't aware, the Samba team is really sort of a loose organization of people, and all membership on the team means is that you have the ability to check in source code to the source trees on samba.org. And they have a t-shirt. Yes. You cannot be a Samba team member without a t-shirt or perhaps a coffee mug. We actually had Samba temporary tattoos as well that we would pass out, which was large fun when I had shaved my head and I could stick them on the back of my head and walk around conferences. But we ran out of the tattoos, I'm sad to say, although I still think we have a lot of Samba t-shirts. It is a loose sort of organizations of friends. We talk to each other on the phone, we watch movies together, we write code together, we yell at each other. But it's a much smaller team than most people actually realize. Most of the developers at this point are either in college or paid to work on Samba full time. So it's a fairly even distribution. We have a lot of vendors that are shipping Samba, as I'm sure a lot of you guys know. And so we end up talking with a lot of those vendors, and they perform a lot of quality assurance testing for us, and that's a big help as well. So let me just give you a little bit of history as far as what's going on. So last year, I remember we actually went to, there was a wine developers conference right before Samba XP. And so I remember talking to Volker, and Volker said last year, you know, I've rewritten Windbine, and he sat down and we talked over the architecture together, and it looked really cool. And I said, oh, this is a great thing. We should really release this. But you know, it's a big change. So what should we do about it? And we had this whole debate on whether or not we should have a Samba version 3.2, you know, or, I mean, what do you do to make people realize that if you just do an RPM-UVH, that it might not work as cleanly as you think it would? And we thought, oh, you know what, if we skip a bunch of releases, right, then at least people will go, hey, what happened to 3.0.15? Where's 3.0.19? All of a sudden there's 3.0.20. And we thought, well, this is the easiest way for us to be able to continue to do patch releases and security releases and continue to develop the Samba 3.0 series of releases and still be able to integrate in large chunks of functionality. And so now we've sort of stabilized, or I say we've sort of settled on this release pattern of having what I call upgrade releases. So 3.0.20, large amount of change over 3.0.14. 3.0.21, again, a large amount of change. 3.0.23 will be a large amount of change again. The diffs between each one of these upgrade releases is about 100,000 lines. The diff between 3.0.14 and 3.0.23.1 that was released a couple of days ago was close to 300,000 lines. We have about 478,000 lines of code. So it's well over 60% of the code base. Many things have been rewritten. The OpLock implementation has been rewritten. There's been a lot of development work on making Samba cluster aware. Windbind has been rewritten and then fixed some more. We've had more remote management protocols that have actually been implemented in Samba. We have usability, end-user usability management features that are going into 3.0.23, user and group management. You know, of that 60% of change between 3.0.14 and 3.0.23.1, and that's somewhat of a fuzzy number, right? I mean, I just took the diff and I said, oh, 273 divided by 476, so 60%. But 10 to 15% of that is new code. So there's about, between 3.0.14a and 3.0.23, there's approximately 75 to 100,000 lines of new code. The entire event log parsing, the entire service control management API, much of the registry API, Coverity, yes. So we've had a lot of new code that's actually been checked in. The other thing that we've had, and this is actually in the Samba 3.0.23 release notes, is that Coverity, the source code scanner, apparently received some government funding to be run against about 20 open source projects. It was a large number, and Samba was one of the primary benefiters from that. So we had close to 300, I think it was over 275 to 300 bugs by Coverity that were found. And it took us about a week and a half. Actually, it took Volker and Jeremy mostly, and some other people, to fix those in about a week and a half. And the primary benefit that we gained from this is they were bugs that on error paths. So for example, when something just wouldn't happen like you would normally expect it to, there was a lot of error paths that would actually cause memory corruption or crashes. So fixing all of these has actually given Samba a high level of robustness in of stability over previous releases. There's been a lot of bug fixes like that in addition to new features and new functionality. So we have the upgrade releases, right, 3.0.21, 3.0.23. 3.0.22 was a security release, so I essentially just kind of ignore that one. I wish I could have ignored it then, but anyways. So 3.0.23 has a large number of new changes, user and group management, user manageable, file sharing that is being used for integration in with Linux desktops. I've already mentioned OpLocks. The performance monitor, if you ever wanted to look at the CPU running on a Linux box using the performance monitor from a Windows box, I thought, God, we'll never have this. And then sure enough, somebody decides to do it. So you can monitor disk activity, you can monitor, you know, anything that you would normally pull out of /proc and export that to Windows clients. So there's a large push in making Samba more manageable, easier to use, more robust, and more like Windows. The description that I have of Samba is that Samba simply dresses up and puts eye candy on Unix so that Windows will go take it out on a date. Okay? And that's basically all it is. You put it up, you know, in nice clothes, you fix its hair. It takes all of these things that Windows knows nothing about, and it basically dresses it up and says, oh, this is, you want a Unix user? Well, let me add some additional covering to it and make it appear as a Windows user. But the thing is that it's incredibly difficult to manage. I mean, it is ridiculously hard to configure. Configuring Samba sometimes can be like configuring Windows via the registry. I mean, you would almost expect there to be a disclaimer on SMB.conf and say, oh, sorry, messing with SMB.conf could actually ruin your system. Oh, it's too painful, huh? It's actually happened. So we're really trying to improve this, and we're trying very difficult. So improving the file server performance, the manageability of Samba, and just missing features, and just trying to keep up with service packs. Okay, so Steve French will actually do a talk tomorrow as well on the SIFS client, and there's been a lot of work that Jeremy and Steve have done together in making the SIFS client running on Linux, talking to a Samba server, able to give additional features and functionality and performance for Unix-to-Unix file copies, right? So as a viable alternative and a replacement for NFSv4. There's been a lot of work, particularly in the POSIX locking area, in order to make that work. The idea is that we should be able to take a Unix box, a Linux box, drop it down in the middle of a Windows network, and you should have no loss of service, right? You should just be able to log on using your same credentials. You should be able to mount up your home directory. You should be able to print. You should be able to access your email. There's a lot of desktop integration, a lot of server integration work that we're actually trying to accomplish. Okay, so this is essentially the things that I'd like to talk about. I want to talk about the Samba 3.0 release schedule, sort of what our plans are, what our ideas on. We can only see, honestly, normally about the next release out. So I could probably sit down and we'll talk about what we expect to be in the 3.0.24 release. In 3.0.25, I have no idea. It really just depends on what we don't get done in 3.0.24. But I expect that we'll probably have the 3.0.23 release by the end of May, and then probably a couple of other upgrade releases by the end of the year, if we happen to stay around this four-month release pattern, which just seems to be how we work. We don't actually try. That just seems to be how it works. Then I want to talk about the relationship between Samba 3 and Samba 4, because a lot of people have questions about that, you know, and we'll talk about that some. We have a wiki at samba.org, so we'll talk about there's a wiki and what can I do with it, what benefit is it to me. Google has sponsored another Summer of Code initiative that will fund student developers between the months of May and I believe August to work on open source software, and Samba is a mentoring organization in that. Again, this year we had 6 students that we mentored last year during the Summer of Code, and we got some really good responses out of that. So I'll talk about what our plans are in participating in that particular organizational event this year as well. And then just some opportunities for involvement and what are some, if you want to get involved, what's sort of the best way to do it. I think being at this conference is probably one of the best ways to get involved, because we can just sit down and talk about stuff one-on-one, which is sometimes a lot easier than trying to catch people over email. Okay? Okay, so what are we planning to do with Samba 3.0? We will continue to develop Samba 3.0, okay? That is just, that's the hard fact. It's not going away anytime soon. So we will continue to develop Samba 3.0. We will continue to put missing features and, you know, new functionality and performance fixes and bug fixes, and that is under active development. It is very, very alive. And so 3.0.23 hopefully will be out by the end of May. I'm giving us another 4 weeks. But to be honest, I'm guessing. Okay, I really hope that it would have been out by the end of April. The 3.0.23 pre-1 release was a couple of days ago. We've already had a couple of bug reports filed against that, so we know that there's some upgrade issues to fix. Hopefully we'll be able to move into release candidate Sage soon after this, and then have 3.0.23 out the door maybe by the end of the month. Volker will have a talk later this afternoon, right, Volker? Yes, later this afternoon we'll talk about some new things in 3.0.23. Jeremy will talk about some of the work that he's done. I think his talk is also tomorrow. So I'm not really going to talk about the features that are in the new releases other than we're working on it. Right now we just want to stabilize the code and get it out. And I think it will be very beneficial for a lot of Samba installations. 4-month upgrade releases, I've talked about that. The letter releases, the A, B, C, these are essentially bug fix releases. So today, if I were going to install a version of Samba, if I were going to install it at a customer site, I would go with 3022. 3022 being a security release is essentially just 3021D. Okay, but what we decided on security releases always get their own version number because apparently there was a lot of confusion when we used to say, oh, well, 2.2.8A is a security fix, and it just got very confusing. So security releases always eat a minor version number, but it's essentially 3021D. And the latest letter release on the latest production branch is the most stable code that we have. And the 3021 series has actually been fairly good, so we're pretty pleased with that. We're pretty happy. New features on the horizon, and this is really beyond Samba 3.0.23, so this would be more if I'm looking at the end of May, so this would probably be more September timeframe. Hopefully we will be able to get some of this, is backport the IDL support from Samba 4 into Samba 3. And one of the benefits of being able to do that is that we no longer will have to hand code individual RPCs in the server in Samba 3 because that's incredibly error prone. I spent 4 years at HP working on printing support. I liked HP. I mean, it was fun, but the printing support was just insane. So the irony of it is I spent 4 years trying to figure out how Microsoft printing worked. And now I work with the guy that originally wrote the Microsoft print spooler. And so I can go, what were you thinking? And he's like, oh no, that wasn't my fault. I'm like, what? So anyways, I actually work with the original architect now. Which is ironic. If I'd only known him 4 years ago, I couldn't have talked to him. But anyways, so what we're still finding in the spooler code is probably one of the most researched part of the code, I would think. I mean, HP spent a lot of money doing QA on that particular subsystem, and I'm still finding new print spooler calls. I mean, to this day, I'm still finding new ones. And so coding this stuff up by hand is incredibly error-prone, and we'll just end up with a... And in fact, in Samba 3, if we're hand-coding the RPC support, then the chances are that we'll find out information that Samba 4 doesn't know about, and then we don't want to lose that information. So being able to share those interface definition files, those IDL files in between Samba 3 and Samba 4 will be a big benefit for us as a project. I'll get into that a little bit more, I think, in a couple of slides. We're talking about something called a new RPC pipe called Unix Info. And the idea is that you have a Samba domain controller and you have member servers, right? Normally you have to share Unix account information via LDAP or NIST or something like that. The Unix info pipe would be a way to query a Samba primary domain controller or backup domain controller to ask about Unix account attribute information using Microsoft RPC. So you would be able to take, it's essentially an appliance model. You can take a Samba primary domain controller, you can drop it down, and you can just add all of your accounts and keep them in a TDB and everything's fine. Then you can set up a Samba domain member server, and all of the Unix UIDs associated with users is exactly the same without the overhead of using LDAP. Okay? So that's probably something in the 3024 timeframe. One of my pet projects is a cleanup of the parameters in SMB.conf. I mean, I sort of whine about this every time we sit down over dinner. And I go, oh, this is just insane. And everybody goes, yeah, there goes Jerry. He's just on his rant again. We have an extreme amount of parameters in SMB.conf that, to be honest, I don't even know what some of them do. And it's funny because I look for some of them and they aren't even used. Ah, yep, that's right. I take them out, Jeremy puts them right back in. Or else we add them thinking that we might need it someday and, oh, I'll add support in the code later. I pulled out some parameter the other day that had been in for a couple of releases that was not used anywhere. It was just in the SMB.conf man page. You really only need about 20 parameters, 20 to 40 parameters to configure Samba, and there's over 350, okay? Nobody needs to configure the max wins TTL time, okay? All right. There's glass bottles in the room, but please don't throw these, okay? I have a proposal, and one of the ideas is to get rid of about 300 parameters out of SMB.conf. Just yank them out. They're gone. They're not in SMB.conf anymore. Okay? And then what we do is if they're still there, you can still use them, but if you want to set them, you have to use the registry editor. Okay? I know. See, Jeremy actually said, no, you should tell them about this. It'll be a great idea. Everybody will love you for this. Let me explain why a lot of these parameters are in. A lot of these parameters are in because Jeremy's not very confident in his code. So what happens is, no, I'm serious. So what he does is he goes, oh, well, we're going to implement NT SMB support, but you know what? I'm scared I'm going to screw it up in the release because I've done that several times. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a parameter so that people can disable NT SMB support. You know, so that way we don't have to do another release because I screwed it up. And they're almost, some of them, they fall into a couple of categories. And I say this sort of in a humorous manner, but it's true. We put parameters in, and Jeremy's not the only one. I mean, you know, more than most, but he's not the only one. We put in parameters to protect ourselves in case we don't get it right. We put in parameters to be able to tune things at runtime so that people don't have to rebuild Samba. We've run into, there was a recent parameter that was introduced to, be able to define the TDB hash, the hash size in locking TDB for very large installations. Now, under normal circumstances, people won't need to be able to touch that, but under very large servers, they need to be able to set this particular parameter. But they're not the kind of things that you would want to see on a day-by-day basis. So, and then there's some parameters that just aren't useful anymore. They just have been in for way too long and we should pull them out. So really and truthfully, storing those outside of SMB.conf in a way that you could still set but was not easily accessible might prevent the optionitis that people suffer from. What happens is, and I mean, we've all done this. We go, well, I don't know, something's not working. And immediately we forget the number one rule of server configuration. You change one thing at a time. Okay? And we forget this rule. We throw it out the window. We go, I'm going to set all these parameters at once, and something just starts working. Okay, and because we've been awake for 72 hours, we just say, you know what, I'm not touching anything. I'm just going to walk away. It's working, and I'm just going to leave it. And then 7 years later, somebody else has taken over our job, and they're looking at this parameter, and they're going, there's a note that says, I don't know why this is needed, but apparently it fixed a bug in Samba 1.9.18p1, and I'm afraid to turn it off. And so there's this sort of optionitis that I mean, SMB.conf sort of grow like, I don't know, like mold. I mean, they just sort of, they get larger and larger and more complex. And you really only need about 20 to 40 parameters. So as one of the Google Summer of Code projects, there's a proposal to come up with an idea of, you know, can we actually trim down this list? I mean, it might even be something so bad as to have an enable advanced features option in SMB.conf that then turns on all the other options so that you could get to them later. But we need to do something about this, okay? I mean, we rank barely under SendMail when it comes to configuration complexity, I think. And some of this is not necessarily because of Samba, but because of what Samba needs to do. So making it easier to manage, you know, I don't know how we will achieve this at some point, but we need to achieve it. Yeah. Steve. Oh, we're at 450? Where'd the other 100 come from? I mean... I don't know. I mean, let's be honest. When you configure a file share, I mean, you need a path. You might need a comment, right, that would actually be displayed back to the Windows client. Well, let me talk about valid users in just a second. I mean, so path and comment, maybe read-only or not. You might need a few... like force user or maybe create mask or, you know, some of those parameters. It's less than a dozen parameters. Less than a dozen parameters on a file share, I mean, I think. Now, as far as global goes, you know, I mean, do you really need to be able to set something like WIN's TTL time? So, I think maybe a dozen parameters on a file share, probably the same amount on a printer share. That puts you at 24. Make up another 25 for global, and I think we could actually trim it under 50. Now let me talk about valid users, because this is actually another problem that we're having is, and I can explain to you, when you try to connect to a share, there are about four different levels. There's at least four different levels at which the access is actually applied. So first of all, you have to check for valid users in SMB.conf. Then you have to check for the security permission is next. So the security descriptor, which is stored in a TDB. And then finally, you've got the file system permissions. Now, the problem with this model, it works. I can tell you, you just get the most restrictive access rights after you essentially merge, you know, take the union of all three of those. I mean, it's easy to explain. Problem is you cannot look in SMB.conf and, oh, I thought it was Windows. Sorry. Yeah, one person got that. Thank you. That was so kind of you. The problem is you cannot look at SMB.conf and essentially know what permission you would actually be granted as a specific user. And it becomes very difficult when you have it to start layering these different access models. So, I don't know. I think there's several different management issues we have to deal with on that. I'm interested for feedback. I mean, if you don't like the registry idea, I mean, I don't care. I might do it just for fun. I mean, just because it creeps people out, you know? Yeah, hkey local machine/software/samba config. Okay? And no, listen, you think I'm kidding, but I'm not. I'm really not kidding. I mean, because all you have to do is, I'm trying to sell this so hard. All you have to do is create a key, another subkey, and a subkey represents a service in SMB.conf, and then the value and parameters simply become key value pairs in the registry. And then, all you have to do to configure a new share is simply use RPC. I'm telling you, this is brilliant. I know you guys can't see it, but it's brilliant. I mean, it's... Thank you. Okay. Now for the really interesting stuff that people want to know about. What's the difference? What's the deal with SAMBA 3 and SAMBA 4? I've had a lot of talks with Tridge about this, and we talked a lot about this on the team. I think one of the things that we suffer from in SAMBA is, I mean, simply, we suffer from numerics. Okay. Bottom line, 4 is greater than 3, so therefore SAMBA 4 should be a superset of SAMBA 3 plus everything else new that you're working on. And that causes a little bit of confusion. So we've had the SAMBA 4 technical preview releases that have come out. We've had two of them so far, and I think a third one is on the way soon. And there's some really fascinating stuff going on in SAMBA 4. And so the question is, oh, well, when is SAMBA 4 going to be released? And when can I stop? You know, I talked to Linux vendors, and they're like, well, when should we stop shipping SAMBA 3? And, you know, it's a lot of confusion because that's how it's always worked in the past. I mean, you can't really fault anybody. And if you look at SAMBA 2.2 and SAMBA 3, what happens was is we were living in a house, and we decided that we needed to renovate the house. We needed to renovate the house in order to get Active Directory support. So we go and we clean out a room and we, you know, fix the windows and we tear down a wall and we paint the room and we make it look better. And then we call it, and it's great. It's new space. It's new technology. And it's got all, because it's based on the same code, it's got all the existing functionality that SAMBA 2.2 has. So that technology at that point is natural to become product. And the difference when SAMBA, between how we formally did development between, for example, SAMBA 2.2 and SAMBA 3, is that SAMBA 3 and SAMBA 4, SAMBA 3 is still the house, but SAMBA 4 is a blueprint, okay? It is a blueprint of what we want the house to look like. And it is amazing technology, right? So it's a hotbed of research for Active Directory domain control support. You know, how do I figure out, you know, Microsoft CLDAP? How do I figure out, you know, what it takes to get a Windows XP box to join me as an Active Directory domain using Kerberos? I mean, what are the requirements of using LDAP? Right? What requirements does LDAP have for doing Active Directory domain control? We had no idea. You can't go to somebody else and you say, oh, I want to use your LDAP server. We can't go to OpenLDAP and say, we'd like for you to take part in our Active Directory domain control initiative. And they go, well, what do you need us to do? Well, we don't really know. I mean, nobody, I honestly believe that nobody, we have no shame in SAMBA. Okay? It honestly, whatever Windows does, we will do. It doesn't matter how bad it takes us to do it, we will do it. And we will be able to sleep at night, but not every project is like that. And in particular, with LDAP, because there's a lot of standardization around the protocol, you know, people go, well, we're not going to stoop to Microsoft's level. I'm like, well, you're going to be irrelevant. But, you know, I mean, you can't tell people what you need from them until you've actually done it. So it's a hotbed of Active Directory domain control. It is a successful experiment in SIFS and RPC protocol completeness or coverage, being able to find out, to proactively look and see what information levels are supported in the protocol rather than being reactive and going, user manager doesn't work again. What call are we missing, right? Or, oh, Exchange 5.5 Service Pack 4 doesn't work anymore. What are we doing wrong? That's a reactive approach. SAMBA 4 was a much more proactive approach, or is a more proactive approach, in making sure that this is all covered. It's a buffet of useful subsystems. A buffet, you know, there's like food everywhere, right? So it's this buffet of useful technologies like the Talloc memory management system that we backported into SAMA3. I mean, that thing is gold as far as being able to keep from leaking memory. Things like TDB and LDB, the IDL information that I've already talked about before. This is amazing technology that we can now use in SAMA3 because it's been developed in SAMA4. It is an architectural blueprint for future SAMA releases. The question is, at what point does technology become product, or how does technology become product? And that's where there's a lot of confusion around. It's not whether or not SAMA4 is going to be released or not. It's not when it's going to be released, but it's how is the technology going to be deployed? How is it going to get to market fast enough? Some of the technology is already out there. I mean, the TDB, the Talloc information, I mean, it's out there right now. It's been backported to SAMA3. We've got proposals to actually bring back LDB for different projects in Google Summer of Code. I've already talked about the IDL stuff. I mean, there's a lot of pieces in SAMA4 that we want to get into the market. Now, the question is, well, what is SAMA4? I mean, SAMA4 started off, and Tridge says, just call it a research project. It's a research project that will eventually become product, but right now what it is us trying to figure out how this stuff actually works, and then at some point we're actually going to get it out. So the question becomes, well, you know, what about all this investment that I'm doing in SAMA3? You know, is that going to be wasted once SAMA4 is released? Well, no, SAMA4 has no printing, okay? No printing whatsoever. So it's not going to replace SAMA3 in that instance. Now, that could change in a week. I mean, Tridge could get home next week and he could go, I think we need printing in SAMA4. And he sits down, you know, Friday night while he's watching Battlestar Galactica and he's like, done, okay? You know, I mean, it could happen. But what I'm saying is that investment in SAMA3 at this point is guaranteed to pay off for years to come, because SAMA3 and SAMA4 are both active efforts, you know, underneath the SAMA project to try to figure out how things work and then get it into the hands of the people that need to use it. SAMA3 is the production release. It's the stuff that we have to do to make, you know, when we have to fix performance problems between 3.014 and 3.020, we have to figure out this kind of stuff. You know, Windows 2003 Service Pack 2, when it comes out, and, you know, we have to fix whatever it breaks. I mean, this is the stuff that we have to do. But SAMA4 is the blueprint by which we can now go to a directory service, and we can say, look, if you want to support Active Directory, this is what you have to do. This is the bare minimum. That's all we're looking for, is we're trying to figure out the bare minimum to be able to implement Active Directory. Same thing for Kerberos. The question comes up, you know, well, why would you do your own? And there's three rules of SAMA development, right? You don't know until you've done it once. Second rule is the next service pack is going to change everything you thought you knew. And then the third one is feature for feature, bug for bug, just like Windows, okay? So it really doesn't matter. So why do your own Kerberos 5? Why do your own LDAP implementation? This comes up all the time. People hear SAMA4 has its own LDAP, and they go, oh, I've already got my own directory service. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to be mean. I don't care, okay? SAMA4 is not trying to take over the directory service space. SAMA4 is trying to figure out what you have to implement over LDAP to be able to get Active Directory. Down the road, we'll look at that. We'll figure it out. But don't expect SAMA4 to actually be a replacement for any LDAP directory service. I mean, just, you know, once the Active Directory control is stable and we can release it, we might even just release and say, this is SAMA4 AD. We had SAMA4 WINS. Maybe we'll have SAMA4 AD. And you just implement, you know, a SAMA4 Active Directory domain controller, and you join SAMA3 as file and print services. For now, it's really fuzzy how this will play out, right? But we all know that we want to get the technology in one branch and we want to get it back out. You know, with LDAP, I mean, we want to do the bare minimum to make it work. Same thing with Kerberos. You're going, oh, I already have a Kerberos realm. And we go, well, you know what? We'll worry about, I mean, we'll try to fix some interoperability issues, or we'll try to back into MIT. I mean, Andrew and Yelmer will talk more about this. But to be honest, right now, I don't care. We just have to know what it takes to make it work. I mean, it's the same thing with the NT4 domain control stuff. We started back in 1.9.18 Alpha 3. Okay, this is when I first got involved with SAMBA. And we started, I mean, just to be able to get a Windows client to say, welcome to the SAMBA domain. I mean, it was Paul Ashton's signature for a long time, just to be able to get a box to join. That was an amazing thing. It was not actually until SAMBA 2.2 until we said, okay, NT4 domain control is a supported option. It was experimental in 2.0. In 2.2, it became a supported option, but it still didn't have SAM replication with other Windows VCs or Windows DCs. It still doesn't, right? I have to tell this story because it's just awful. I spent 6 hours one day. I have a test forest at my house, and I had a child domain that I had to remove. But I have two DCs in the root domain, and one of them had died and not been properly demoted. Okay? So I have a child domain. I'm simply trying to run DC promo on the machine to get it out of the domain. And it took me 6 hours. I ran into the bowels of the NTDS utility trying to sync metadata and Active Directory, and I thought, oh my God, this is the ninth level of hell. I mean, this is awful. And once you start trying to implement that, I mean, it is, sure it's LDAP, sure it's Kerberos, but it is, you know, it's much more to it than the protocols. So that work is going to continue to go on. Once we have something that's stable, we will release it, you know, as a product. But, you know, I mean, just be aware that just because it's called 4 doesn't necessarily infer all of 3 as well. Okay? We have a wiki now, right? So this stuff's kind of fun. We actually found, I had this habit of finding people on the mailing list that answer a lot of questions. And I go, hey, would you like to volunteer to take over something? So if you don't want me hassling you to take, you know, control of something in Samba, don't post to the mailing list a lot. Because once I see your name pop up 3 or 4 times a day, my radar's all over you, okay? I'm just like... So Craig White was one of the unfortunate souls that actually grabbed. He said, sure, I'll be glad to do it. So we actually have a user-based community that is... not only Craig's sort of heading it up, but we have other people that are doing this stuff as well. The idea is that this is not a replacement for documentation. This is a holding area for documentation until it's actually be ready to be integrated into the main trees, right? Into the actual official docs. You know, so is there a bug in 3.0.23 pre-1? Oh yeah, I ran into this. This is what I did. You know, other things like what do we have for the next Samba 4 technical preview release? What do we have for the 3.0.23 release? And it's, you know, it's the idea that the user community is really good at supporting itself, and really good at being able to answer. And you know, just having to answer the same questions over and over in email is a real drag. And so hopefully this will help alleviate some of that and provide a way for the user communities to sort of pass on the knowledge on how to configure these servers. Okay? So wiki.samba.org, Google Summer of Code. I've talked about this a little bit. I need to go ahead and finish up. There's a lot of... I'm sorry, my mind just left me. It just left. Lists. Ah, that's it. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a large list of project ideas actually on samba.org from this as well. Samba/project, summer code 06. Some of these have to do with Samba 3. Some of them have to do with Samba 4. NetBSD is actually looking at doing some file system performance tuning for Samba as well, so we're teaming up with those guys to help. If you have any ideas, I mean, these are basically student projects for 3 months, and if you have ideas of something that you would like to see that's sort of a bounded project, then, you know, be sure and let us know. So that will actually kick off. The student applications will begin, May the 1st, and we'll finalize things by about the end of the month. I'm sorry, middle of the month and get started coding. We're actually going to experiment with the BazaarNG distributed source control management as well with the students. So my idea being that I don't necessarily want to give them write access to our SVN tree, even in a temp branch. So using some type of local SCM model that they could use locally would be a good experiment for us to find out how well it would work for Samba as a project, because we want to get more people involved in development. So we'll see how that goes as well. We did get some code out of last year, and I'm hoping we'll get some more code and some more people out this year as well. So, getting involved. This will be my last slide. So if you'd like to code, the best place to show up is on the Samba technical mailing list. Pick a problem, pick a bug, have a patch, mail it to the list and say, hey, is this the right thing to do? Hey, is this not the right thing to do? And just follow up on it. If you want to take part in testing, it's always good to get feedback on the early releases. Right, it's always the worst thing when somebody says, "Oh, I'm sorry, 3.0.23 just doesn't work." Well, there's been this bug that was introduced 3 months ago. Oh, but I never tested it then. I'm testing it now, and you just go, oh, "Why couldn't you test it before?" So, you know, having test feedback on pre-releases is really more help than I think anybody really realizes. Writing documentation, right? I've already talked about the wiki. The Samba docs is actually online in an SVN format. It's all in XML. So, you know, if you just really love XML, then you can always help out on that. It's very easy to fix man pages, right? If you find errors in the sme.conf man page or missing parameters, then, you know, feel free to let us know. Companies, support your local SAMA developers. Like I say, about half of the developers are actually funded. There's a lot others that are actually very good at doing smaller projects. The thing that I find a lot is that companies want to reuse SAMA. They just want to drop it in the box, and they just want it to work, and they don't want to hire the engineering expertise to actually make it work. And that, to me, is a mistake. It's just a mistake, not because SAMA it doesn't work and they'll have to do the development, but it's because a lot of times they don't really understand SAMA to know when it's a bug in SAMA versus when it's a misconfiguration versus when it's just a bug in the OS. And you need the engineering talent to be able to tell the difference between those. Okay? I need to shut up now. So I could talk for days, but I won't because I know that Andrew's ready to get up here and Yelmer is too. Are there any questions before I sit down very quickly? Nope. Bueller, anyways. All right, well, thank you. Enjoy the rest of the conference.
Thank you very much. Very interesting speech and a lot of news, actually, and clarification, I guess, at least for those people who are not Zamba developers themselves. And yeah, thanks a lot.